Hello and welcome to another episode of the Gotta Read 'Em All podcast, a Pokemon podcast. This is a spinoff of the Otakuology podcast. We haven't done one of these in quite some time, but we are back again looking at and talking about chapter 28, A Piece of Mime, which is a fun little chapter, I have to say. But with me as always is my heterosexual podcast life partner, Mr. Jin. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good.
You excited to talk about Mr. Pokemon? Jin?
Yeah. We're finally getting into for me, it's the third book, so
yeah.
I'm excited for us to start getting done with like the first part of Red, Blue, Green.
Yeah. Me too. Because I want to know what happens. Because this is my first time reading through this series.
Right. It makes me laugh, though, because every time we record a show for Pokemon, I feel like you always go, we haven't recorded this in a long
time. I mean, we haven't. It's been like a couple months.
Somebody's going to go back and listen to our Pokemon ones and be like, yeah, Mike said that like 47 times. Not possible.
We kind of get on like these like tangents of like doing other things, and we don't focus on the Pokemon stuff as much as we kind of used to. You know, we used to do like a couple a month.
That's true. Or we do one big show and one Pokemon show for a while.
Yeah. But I just want to say before starting out, I love the messages from the writer and artist at the very beginning. Do you have those at all in your book?
I don't think so.
Okay, so at the beginning of my, because I think this is the beginning of book three for you. So at the beginning, like, there's a message from the author or the writer, and he's like, you know, Pokemon Adventures is already on its third volume now. Red, Blue, and Green charge into Sylph. Is it Sylph Co. or Sylph City? What is the name of it?
I think Sylph is the building.
Sylph Co. headquarters of Team Rocket. What battle will unfold? Check out how everyone has improved. And then we get a message from the artist. And the artist says, one battle after another, I grip my pen really hard while drawing this third volume. It felt like I was the one fighting as I drew the battle scenes. Take your time to enjoy this book. We finished every chapter barely on schedule each month.
Hey, so I found it. Mine's at the end.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, you have okay. The little picture of the guy pinching the Oddish with the glasses.
Yeah. I just thought that was funny to see. Because I love little like insights like that with like the artist or like the mangaka.
I
like
do too. Let me tell you, because you know I've been finishing off a bunch of manga because I've only had like three or four of them, and some of the newer ones the people don't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, they don't. They'll do something at the very end of the book.
That's what I'm saying. Like at the end, they won't have like a closing like thank you. Yeah. And, oh man, I don't know why, but some of the series, whenever I read that, I get to that point, I'm like, I'm docking you half a star for that, you know, like, it takes the shit out of me, because I'm like, that was one of the best parts, is getting to the end and, like, reading that, I'm like, oh yeah.
But I like seeing, like, their mindset, and like, oh yeah, you know, oh, we're getting ready, and then the artist is like, yeah, this took us, like, or I guess it took them a while to get through like drawing and stuff, which I wonder, because after this, after Yellow, this artist goes away, I believe, and we get the new artist. So I wonder, like, could they handle the monthly grind, you know? Which I like this artist more than the other artist, just saying.
Like, the one right now?
Yeah, I like the one right now. I really do. I've looked at some of the other stuff.
I really can't tell the difference, you know?
I mean, it's really hard to tell the difference. Yeah. But I mean, I can tell the difference. Like, I can see it. Like, I can see definitely like the other artist definitely copies this artist's.
Yeah.
Like a lot. But, you know. But let's get into this book. You want to start us off
talking about? So we're going to get into chapter 28, Piece of Mime.
Yeah.
So we start right after the events of chapter 27, which is where we saw like Dark Professor Oak, which is actually just an illusion. And Red and Blue both went to go basically check on him.
Mm-hmm.
After the illusion is broken, then they basically see that the lab is really just like the broken foundation with a little bit of the walls still on it. Not even the full thing. And so now we're getting into this one where they are standing outside of this wreckage or ruin of the lab and talking about what is going on / what is going to happen. So they're going to basically try and go back to Sylph City or whatever it is.
Saffron City.
There we go.
Sylphco is the Sylph, place.
And it's the tower, yeah.
Yeah, Sylphco is the tower. Yeah.
And so they're going back to Saffron City, and they're trying to get ready for the final showdown between them and Team Rocket.
That's true. And there's Blue talks to Red about this and how, you know, we got to team up with each other at one point. He says, you know, take on the final battle. And Red starts talking about how he transferred his Pokemon with Bill to send to Professor Oak. And apparently all the Pokemon he transferred are gone. I don't remember when this happened. Did this happen like off screen that we didn't know about?
But it's not all of his Pokemon. Eevee's the only one that's gone.
Okay, Eevee's the only one that's gone. I thought it was more than just Eevee.
No, it's just
like, I thought it was maybe like other Pokemon that he caught throughout his journey.
Yeah.
Like not his main team that he uses right now, but other like the backlog of Pokemon that he's caught.
Yeah. No, I think it was just Eevee, because remember Eevee had the chip in him. Mm-hmm. That somebody was working on because of the potential transformations that Eevee could go through.
Okay.
So there was a reason why originally they had Eevee that way.
Yeah. And so Blue happens to say that only Red's Pokemon were touched, and it was Red's fault that this happened at all, because it shows that Blue's Pokemon, nobody took Blue's Pokemon.
Harsh.
Which is weird, because I thought Team Rocket wanted like all strong Pokemon.
Maybe. This is true. I really think it's probably just an inside job. Get in, get out as fast as they can, you know?
Yeah.
So Eevee's what they were looking for to complete whatever craziness that they have going on.
And then Red ends up getting mad. He throws a punch at Blue. Blue, he just, you know, ever so gently just puts his hand up and catches Red's fist. I don't think Red's a really good fighter when it comes to hand-to-hand combat. But Blue ends up telling Red that he's going to deal with Team Rocket on his own, you know, stay out of his way. And Blue's like, I really don't care what you want. You know, I'm going to do this because I'm the capable one, you know. And Red's kind of like hemming and hawing over this. Like, he's really mad at Blue at this point, because they really can't work together, it seems like.
Right. Well, and then I like this next part, because then we get into where Blue is telling Red about why Professor Oak picked Pallet Town as their like main base. And he said part of it basically is that this whole thing with Mew started, and he's trying to look for him, and that Pallet Town was also supposed to be his pallet, P-A-L-E-T-T-E, because it was basically the blank pallet of where everything could happen and that the town was pristine and that there was a lack of pollution compared to the other bigger towns that Professor Oak could have built his lab.
That's true. Really interesting to think about in that aspect of, you know, the town not really truly being touched by, like, I can almost say modern man, but like civilization. Yeah. Like, there's people live here, but it's very much like a rural town, you know, where like it's like sporadic. You know, they live in the country, as we like to say down in the South.
Country.
You know, they live in the country where like they're spread out more. You know, there's not really a city. And which really goes with, like, you know, the video game. Like, when you start with Pallet Town, there's not much in Pallet Town.
No, there's like four buildings. So
it makes perfect sense. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll go with that, you know? Which is what you think.
Oh, no, I was thinking the same thing. And then I was like, well, I'm glad that we, at least in this, we get a few more houses, even though they're just more spread out.
But Blue ends up flying off on his Charizard to go to Saffron City. Red follows on his Aerodactyl. I totally forgot Red had his Aerodactyl. Like, I was like, oh yeah, he has one. Which is funny because, like, I always forget something. I feel like whenever we come back to this.
Of like, who's got which Pokemon?
Who's got which Pokemon or, like, what exactly happened.
Yeah,
because I forget like some small things here and there. Like, oh yeah, you know, they did like put drugs into a Rhyhorn to make it super strong, you know, at one point. So, you know,
they chapter two.
Yeah,
and then Giovanni gave him the amber and he took it to the lab to get or for Blaine to give him the Aerodactyl.
Like, I kind of forgot about that. But Red, I know, Blue goes to attack the barrier that's around Saffron City. He's like, this barrier is huge. I don't know, like, what's going on. You know, there's got to be a weak spot somewhere, you know. And Red comes in with his Aerodactyl using Hyper Beam. And I love this scene where he's like, yeah, you know, there's got to be a weak spot too. Like, they're both thinking the same thing. And he's like, you know, it goes from top to bottom. Like, what if, like, the top is, like there's nothing on top? What if we could just fly through, you know? And, like, I love this scene where they're both flying around. And I like it that Red has his arms, like, spread out. Like, he's flying like Superman.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Aerodactyl's holding him by his arms. And,
shoulders.
Blue's, yeah, shoulders. Like, Blue is like, hey, quit copying me. And he's like, who's copying who? You know, there's always that little rivalry between them, which I love.
There is for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess they have the same idea through most of it because they go to the top and they keep using their abilities together, which I assume that it's probably Flamethrower and Hyper Beam every time.
It is.
Of course, then we have, like, Green in the background holding on to Jigglypuff's leg, like, ha ha ha, you know, I'll just let them do everything.
Yeah, she's like, oh, those two, I didn't know, they obviously, I guess they knew each other, is what she says at one point, and yeah. And they, you know, they're trying to figure it out, and I like this scene where Blue gets his gold duck to use, what was it, like, Confusion. I think it was? Yeah. And I never knew, like, what confusion was, so you can probably tell me more.
You make people confused.
Oh, I mean, like, how he's, like, able to, like, read things. Like, he put his hand, like, he put, and he was able to find the,
Yeah, they use it kind of like telekinesis, so I think it's kind of funny with part of that. But, yeah, he puts his hand on something. You know what this part reminded me of?
What?
Abe Sapien from Hellboy.
Yes, it does.
Where he's like, oh my god, there's something in here. You know, like, he can tell you just from putting his hand on it.
And like, he can like transmit what he's seeing, like, with this confusion psychic technique to Blue's Pokédex. And I popped really hard for this when we see Mr. Mime doing his Mr. Mime stuff. And then we get a close-up of Blue's Pokédex, and it's a picture from the video game.
Yes.
I was like, whoa.
Yes, love it.
Yeah, and then Red comes down, and he's like, okay, you know, I think I got this. And he uses Pikachu's substitute, which I know he's used substitute before, but has he used substitute like this? How he's done it? Like, I know he...
No.
I was like, whoa, substitute is kind of powerful. It yeah. seems like, because like he was
it,
like...
It almost seems like double team.
Kind of, yeah, but he like makes like an electric energy version of himself. Is what they yes. say. And electric energy Pikachu goes through the barrier and he's like running around. Nobody can see him, which I think is kind of cool. But I guess Red can see him. But like Team Rocket don't see him when he passes around them and stuff.
I think Pikachu can see him. Like Pikachu can see through his eyes.
Oh, okay.
And then and Green comes back in and basically says, oh, what do you think? This is a video game?
Yeah, because
you have to work together.
Yeah, they're not working together. And then they end up starting to work together, which I like it when they work together. You know, they're very much like two halves of the same coin.
You mean they may be like two co-hosts of Otakuology?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But, like, they end up working together where Golduck uses confusion to transmit through Pikachu to show where Mr. Mime is. And Mr. Mime's just doing his Mr. Mime thing, which I think is funny. Like, I think Mr. Mime is always funny. Like, regardless of what people think about Mr. Mime, I like him.
Right.
I like him a lot. And so... they end up working together. They find Mr. Mime and they attack him, but it turns out that he's like, was Mr. Mime an illusion or a decoy?
He made himself an illusion.
Okay.
Yeah, because you know he can wrap himself in illusion to do that. And with the combo that they're doing right now, Pikachu could just attack the illusion. But because of Golduck using the hypnosis to know where he's at, the illusion basically, they know that it's not real.
Okay. And Pikachu ends up using Thunderbolt or Energy Thunderbolt. Pikachu uses Thunderbolt, which I was like, okay, yeah, definitely like Substitute is OP. If he can be throwing around like that kind of attack.
Right, definitely.
And they end up going away, and the barrier ends up dropping. And they're like, yeah, we got it, yeah. And which leads Green to be able to basically use Red and Blue to get what she wants. She also wants to get in there, because she was really no help to him,
Except for the suggestion of working together.
But they end up getting into the Saffron City. Red's kind of clueless still a little bit, like, why are they here kind of thing, it seems like. Blue is looking for the specific person who he's looking for. I'm guessing it's Lieutenant Surge, which I think
they're just trying to find somebody, and Lieutenant Surge sees them.
Okay. Okay.
But I was like, I really like the bubble when they're walking in there and Red's mad at Blue and he says, I didn't help you so you could make this your show.
Yeah, that was funny. But which made me think about, like, did Blue know Lieutenant Surge at all?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he was just waiting for somebody to come in.
Yeah. And
then it turns into the Yu Yu Hakusho traveling around for the tournament.
Yeah, and so they end up going to the Silphco building, it looks like, and Red ends up falling through a hole in the floor, and Blue gets hit by, or some shurikens get thrown near Blue, And that is where this chapter ends. So let me ask you, as we always say, what did you think of this chapter?
Oh, I mean, I like this one.
Yeah.
Just because we kind of got like that whole working together thing.
Yeah.
We got why Professor Oak was there. We got to see some cool, you know, Pokemon stuff. Mm-hmm. And we also kind of got to see like abilities getting used, but not for like what they're supposed to be used for.
Yeah. I feel like they took liberties with those abilities, but yeah, made them like cool.
I agree.
Like, I was like, oh man, like, have we been using those abilities like wrong this whole time?
I can't do that in the video game.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I 100% really enjoyed that. Now, and I do think that we are kind of seeing it too, kind of like the early stages, since we have been talking about Digimon as well.
Yeah.
Of how this kind of connection between Red and Blue is kind of like Matt and Ty.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. So. Totally. I could see that, yeah. It's very much like a characteristic trait in most like rivalries between two boys in a manga, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I like this one as well. I like, because I've read a little bit further on, and I like this little story arc.
Monster.
I read the first, like the next like chapter. But I like this little slice of story arc more than the bird story arc we had before. Like, I wasn't like the most like keen or on like the whole capturing the legendary bird story arc. Like, I didn't care for it as much.
Right.
Maybe it's because I just didn't read it. Like, it was like a whole gap between reading it and stuff. But I like this one more because there was more to chew on, I guess you could say, in this, because it pulls off of that story and like builds off of it, and later on we'll talk about it, like what happens with the birds and stuff. But I liked Red and Blue coming together because they're always at odds, and we've only seen them work together a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I really want to get to that point where, like, you know, they're rivals, but they're like friends.
Or they're frenemies.
Frenemies, yeah. But like they have respect for each other. And eventually I know they do, because I've seen a couple of the games later on where they have like respect for each other and stuff. You know, they have a lot of growing to do. And I like you said, like, I like seeing those abilities being used. Yeah. I think the creators, the mangaka, and the artists in this are very much taking liberties with the Pokemon world.
Yeah.
In a sense. But I like it. I like that they're taking these little liberties.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I want to point out is, don't forget too, like, if going off of this right, then their Pokemon journey started when they were like 10. So, I mean, they're still kind of like little kids, while I know whenever we get into like the events that happen in Yellow, they are a little older.
Yeah, they are a little older. And then eventually with, I think, was it Sun and Moon? They end up becoming, they're like in their 20s, I think.
Yeah, I think everything as we move forward, they get a little older.
Yeah, they get a little older and stuff, which I like to see. We always like to see our characters grow. Unlike Ash Ketchum, never grows.
I know, right? Never grows until he died.
Yeah, but I like this chapter a lot. I know I say that about most of the Pokemon stuff, but I do, as reading this for the first time, I like reading it, and I like having somebody to talk to about it. Like,
yeah,
and like bounce off my weird theories that I might have and stuff, you know. Like, I thought there was going to be an illegal drug ring at one point for Team Rocket. They were shooting up their Pokemon with heroin. Or when Red smuggled his Pokeball in his butthole. for the Safari Zone.
Oh my gosh.
You know. Yeah.
I don't know if that happened per se, but
look, this is my headcanon, okay?
Oh my gosh, not your headcanon.
This is my headcanon. What my headcanon is like all canon. So
your headcanon is all canon?
Yeah.
You sure you didn't come out of like a Jujutsu Kaisen or something like that?
No, I
don't. Or what's that other one that came out? The one where the guy's got the big like revolver as a head.
Oh, No Guns Life?
Yeah. Maybe that's what you came out of. That's your world.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, this one's good, and it really once got me. Like, I feel like we're in the home stretch of like things are gonna get rolling. I feel like,
right,
because we're they said even before, like, we're in the final battle. The final battle is going to possibly be this entire book. We'll see. You know, but like, you know, it's like things are getting put into motion, which I want to find out what they are, because eventually I would like to get out of this reading.
I want to know what else you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of feel like we need to have Green a little more into the story a little bit, because I feel like right now, well, she had the good idea, she wasn't a key player.
It's true. You're not wrong about that. Which we've had Green before show up, and that's one thing I hope as well, is that she does become a big player within the final parts of this last volume for the first omnibus,
you know? Right? So,
but I mean, you've read before, you've read like ahead of me, so you kind of know what's going to happen.
Maybe, but anyway, just like Team Rocket, I guess we'll have to be blasting off again. And for all of our people that are out there, we'll have to see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys on the next episode. Hopefully, we're going to be on a regular basis with our Pokemon episodes, because we both like talking about these.
Because we got to read them all.
We got to read them all. That's right.